and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5. Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's so good to have our program back on.
It is. It's good to be back in the groove. You know, it's fall. Cooling down a little bit.
A lot. I turned my air conditioner up to 70. It's so much cooler right now than it was over the summer when I had 75.
All my sweaters and sweatshirts are out and
nice.
Ready to go.
Look at you, Miss Optimism. Yeah. Always the optimist. This is why you're the host of Morning Edition, right. Is because you bring the sunny perspective to every day.
I try. So, you know, it is the fall, but I should say it's the fall of 2015. But, you know, lots of folks looking ahead to roughly a year from now, we're already deep into presidential election season.
Oh,
so
goodness,
lots of people are thinking, they're thinking elections, they're thinking presidential elections, are following the candidates. And I was kind of thinking, you know, we have never really talked about how democracy and liberal arts and democracy and education sort of interact.
Look at you trying to be topical.
I'm trying. So I'm kind of curious if we can talk about what the liberal arts can teach us about interacting with democracy and political discourse and having a civic life. Because, you know, it doesn't have to be a political science class or a government class or a history class.
You're absolutely right, Jennifer. It's not taking a course in government or political science or history alone that does that. But it is, in fact, the liberal arts as a collective whole. And we talked about, you know, are the liberal arts plural or singular?
Yes.
And so, and I forgot the answer we gave, in fact. But the interesting thing is that it's all the different lenses through which we can view our world. And I would argue that no matter what the area that we're concerned with, so today we're talking about politics and democracy, the more lenses we have, whether they're through the lens of art or the humanities or the social sciences or the natural sciences, that no matter what it is, no matter what the it, by having that diversity of exposure, we will see that thing in a richer way. As a mathematician, I am a better mathematician. I prove better theorems because of my exposure to art, my exposure to philosophy, my exposure to poetry, and so forth.
How? Why are you able to do that better because of that other exposure?
Well, okay, and I'm pulling off of democracy for a second, so I'm sorry.
Sure,
but
we'll get back on that track.
Good, I'm sure you'll keep me honest. But for me, it's a freeing of my own creativity. And for example, when I studied art history, it taught me how to see things. And I now can metaphorically see advanced mathematics in a different way. I can see what's truly there. When I think philosophically in all the courses I took in philosophy, these are two of my favorite subjects outside of math, it taught me how to ask these questions and find a way. And so it adds to the fabric. It just makes me a richer person and therefore a better mathematician, just as these ideas of the liberal arts, all of them, whether it's sociology, anthropology, biology, adds to make a better citizenry and therefore a better democracy if we apply those different lenses and that type of effective thinking to looking at these issues.
Well, and we should be clear, when we're saying liberal arts, it's little L, so it's not liberal as in
oh,
liberal
my goodness.
Conservative.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, yeah, that's right, because then we have to talk about the conservative arts.
Right. So it goes without saying, so I better say it.
Thank
so
you.
Liberal arts, we're talking about just the discipline, academia, studying a broad range of topics.
From across all
from
human
across
thought.
From across all disciplines,
all
right.
human thought.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's a really good point. Because
not liberal versus
conservative. Oh, yeah, to a lot of people, you know, liberal is a bad word. And to a lot of people, they love liberal. But the truth is, it doesn't mean either of those.
Yeah.
It is a phrase to describe all of thought.
So when you're talking about sort of diversity of opinions and liberal arts and political discourse, what I'm thinking of is, of course, I tend to think about things from the media perspective. And so
it's awful.
I can't help it.
And also, social media amplifies, I think, the problem. It becomes, this is now my opinion, I'm not even speaking on behalf of any organization or other people, but to me, social media has driven us to a place where it's more about how we feel rather than what we think. And I think that is taking us down a very troubling road. not to say that people shouldn't have feelings, but that we need to be able to artfully manage within ourselves both of these elements of being human, namely what I feel and what I think. And in some sense, and this is like tough love, so this is an extreme case just to provoke you.
Okay.
I don't truly mean this, but in some sense, I care less about how you feel, but more about what you think. I want to know your ideas and your thinking and your rationale and your perspective rather than how you feel. And yet I see that in politics and in our democracy today, it's much more about how we feel, which of course polarizes us and makes us more extreme
both sides. I think research has sort of borne out over time that with all of the media choices out there, people tend to gravitate towards the ones that sort of already support what they think. So the whole idea of kind of diversity of opinions and exploring all the different nuances or possibilities related to any particular issue that candidates may be discussing, you know, I think I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I think we don't always exercise that full range of thought because mostly what some people are absorbing is kind of what they already think.
You're absolutely right. And it's amplified by the media. No offense to you and your wonderful colleagues, and no offense to any other broadcast media. But the truth is, the media models that bad behavior, whether it's Fox News on one side or MSNBC on the other side or anything in between. If you watch those, you know, political pundits going after each other, it's just wrestling. It's just another form of wrestling. And it's just for entertainment. And it's not really that intellectual. When have you seen on one of those programs, one of those people say, you know what? You make a good point. I'll have to go away and think about that. And I'll come back. And then they come back and say, well, you know what? Okay, I had to modify my thinking a little bit. That never happens. And that's what we as a country then begin to model as that must be the behavior of thoughtful people. That is not thoughtful people, right? If someone says, I am 100% sure of this or that, it sounds of a certain amount of certainty, but really what we should be hearing is that person's closed-minded. And that's why we're so polarized. Everyone is 100% sure of the issue. I'd rather them have some doubt, even if it's saying, I believe this stance on this issue, and it's a big issue, 85%. And then maybe after you and I talk, I still believe it, but maybe only 80%. You follow me?
I do.
There's got to be wiggle room. There's no wiggling right now. And that means there's no intellectual discourse.
And I think what I'm hearing you say is that what the liberal arts and studying the liberal arts can provide is a tool to give us that wiggle room and to get us into that area that's not 100% or 100% there, but at least get us into that area of thinking, questioning, wondering, and listening to other opinions, even if we don't move from what we thought, at least we've engaged.
And what a great word, listening. You're absolutely right. An active listening, as I call it, which is where you really are an engaged listener. No one listens anymore. It's exactly.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm supposed to be getting the laughs here. You're absolutely right. All the different lenses of human thought can provide templates for us to actually go deeper into any issue. And it's okay to be firm in your convictions. I'm not saying that you need to be, you know, a flip-flopper, although if you change your mind, I don't think that should be a negative thing. I think we should see that as a positive thing. There's change. That's what education's about, right? So I like that, and I'm open to that, but at least give some room for the possibility of doubt. And that allows a real, honest debate rather than saying, you're wrong, you're crazy, and how could you not see the world my way?
What I want to engage on right now is the puzzler.
Oh, from last time.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, did you like that one?
I don't know if like is the word.
Let me remind everybody.
I was very challenged.
Good. Well,
so
that's,
I was very engaged.
That's the job.
Yes.
Okay, let me remind everyone really quickly. So you are out there in the wild somewhere, and you get lost, and as you're kind of going along this path, there's a fork in the road, as there often is in politics, as in life, and you know, this is a fact, one of those branches will lead you safely to your campgrounds. The other branch leads you to a tribe of the scariest animal you can imagine that will not do you good.
Yes.
Okay, you have to pick one of these branches. You don't know which one leads to which. However, right there in the fork of the road, there's a group of individuals who live there. And you do know, as a fact, that these individuals come in two basic flavors. There are the truth tellers who always tell the truth. And the other group are the liars who always lie. But you can't just look at them and tell which person is which. So, one person approaches you, you're allowed one question, And that question has to determine which path you take. And the question is, what is the question? So you thought about this and...
Yes.
Okay. You want me to tell you an answer?
Yeah. So the question that I have, I am certain is not the correct one.
Oh, you know how I love good mistakes.
Yes.
So go ahead.
So the question I came up with, the only problem with it is you don't know if the answer you're going to get is truthful or not, because you don't know if you're talking to a truth teller or a liar.
Right.
But the question I had is some form of point me to someone who can tell me is essentially to ask, what other resources can I get to try to solve this?
Okay. So when I posed this question the first time, we were talking about making these value studies.
Yes.
And in some sense, you've just made a wonderful value study of this thing. Because the question is, there are two things we have to figure out, whether the person is honest or not, and then which road to take.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's two questions and I'm only allowed one.
Yeah.
And you are capturing an essence that I love, which is that, how can I get that person to tell me something about something else?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is brilliant.
That's what I was going for.
Brilliant. I love it.
I bet it's not right,
though. No, it's exactly right.
Are you serious?
Well, but you haven't said the question. I mean, so now the issue is, what is the question
that does that? So what is the question that does that?
Now, I'm sure there are many, many ones.
Yeah.
This is the one that I came up with.
Okay.
But I'm not saying there's only one answer. Unlike when people think math is only has one answer, that's not true at all. All right, I'm gonna tell you my question.
Okay.
It's complicated.
All
and
right.
Then I want to talk through it and show you that it works.
Okay, cool.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here is what we could ask.
Okay.
So we'd ask this person the following. What answer would you give if you were in the other group to the question, which way should I get home safely? So let me say that again. The question is that we'd ask this person, remember, there's two groups. They're the liars and the not liars. What answer would you give if you were in the other group to the question, which way should get me home safely?
But you still don't know.
So let's talk through it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, since this is a medium of the imagination here,
yes.
I can't draw pictures. But let's just visualize together. There's a fork in the road.
Right.
Let's say that the left fork will take you home safely.
Okay.
And the right fork leads you to the scary animals.
Right.
Okay. Now we have to take a look at the two different scenarios as to who that person is when we ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose the person is a truth teller.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's read the question again. What answer would you give if you were in the other tribe to the question, which way should I go? Well, that person says, okay, if I were in the other tribe, then I would lie. And so therefore, I know safe is to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lie and say to the right.
Right.
And since I tell the truth, I have to answer the question truthfully and say right. That person would say right, because that's truthfully what the other side, a liar, would say.
Would say, yes,
okay?
Got it.
So keep that in your mind. Right,
yes.
which takes you to danger.
Uh-huh.
Now let's pretend this person was a liar.
Uh-huh.
We ask the liar, what answer would you give if you were in the other tribe to the question, which way gets me home safely? Well, that person knows that the actual truthful answer is going to be left.
Yes.
That's what the other tribe would say. But this person always lies, and so is going to say right. So notice that in both, no matter who the person is, they give the same answer, right. And what do?
Left.
We do the opposite.
Yes.
So whatever they say, whatever that person says, we do the opposite, and it leads us to safety, no matter whether the person was telling a truth or whether the person was a liar.
Wow.
Now, what's interesting about this...
I'm exhausted.
I told you this was complicated. And I warned you,
just
be fair to the audience, I warned you this was a little complicated.
It is,
I didn't
but
tell you
fascinating,
the answer.
But
now,
fascinating.
And actually, here's something that I just thought of. It relates to your conversation that we're having.
Yeah.
Because what are we doing? We are asking an individual to imagine what the other side would say, or what the other side would do, or how the other side thinks. And in some sense, that is the ultimate in thinking through democracy. To truly immerse yourself in your opponent's point of view, or in the opposite perspective, and understand it so deeply that even though you might come away still disagreeing, you at least can understand a rubric through which you could see the world in that way where it makes sense, even though that's not the rubric through which you see the world. And so in some sense, the answer to this is really coming back to your question about democracy.
It's all about liberal arts and democracy and how we can take those tools and sort of bring
actually,
it
wait a minute.
Into
I got even a punchline to this. Let me just take this out of my bag.
Okay. What is? What
I've got
do you
a
have?
Copy of my book, The Five Elements of Effective Thinking, which I wrote with Mike Starbird. Do you have a copy of this, by the way?
I don't.
Ooh, you're going to have a surprise at the end of this.
Oh, thank you.
Do you know the last two paragraphs of this book are actually about democracy? And here we're talking about effective thinking. Can I just read?
Yeah,
let me see
please
if I can find
do.
It. I got to find it real fast. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, so these are the last two chapters of this amazing book. That was my own editorial. The Five Elements of Effective Thinking, but it's about democracy and it's about thinking. When the American founding fathers imagined a democracy that would reflect the will of the people they envisioned were thoughtful, independent thinking citizens who would understand the issues of their day and would turn their own clear wisdom to making sound decisions for the benefit of society. Surely more than ever, the world needs thoughtful voices. Voices that can ignore the bombast and heat of shallow excitement and focus instead on thinking calmly and sensibly about long-term goals and consequences. These elements of effective thinking will help you to become a quintessential citizen of the world, contributing personally and professionally, locally and globally. So there it is. Thinking is everything in democracy. And this is your copy. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I'm handing it to her.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, liberal arts and democracy. Thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. And by the way, if you have an idea for a topic that you'd like to hear us tackle on higher ed,
or maybe a question they have for you or for me.
That would be great.
Southwestern.
Absolutely.
I'll answer any question on any subject.
Uh-oh.
Stump the Berger.
Did you hear that? Any question on any subject. All right. Email it to me, jstayton, S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Stayton with KUT News.